Now, there is a book out at the moment called Special, and it's written by an Aussie mum and a journalist about raising a child with a disability and the experience around the world for people raising a child with a disability. And I read this book. I couldn't put it down. I took it everywhere with me. I was reading it on the project desk. I read it on the train. I read it everywhere because it was such an eye-opener for me. It turned on its head all of the preconceptions I had about what it would be like. And it's written through the eyes of Mel and the story of her son, Arlo, who has cerebral palsy. And Mel joins us now. Hey, Melanie.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. I obviously know your story, having read it, but for everybody else, can you talk to us about how having a child with a disability became your world?
Well, yeah, we had a pretty ordinary pregnancy, and then we were kind of 4 days past our due date, and Arlo's movements were a bit different. He wasn't as active as he usually was. So we went into the hospital and they had a look at him and they said, oh, we can't see anything wrong, but look, you're 4 days past your due date, we'll induce you. So we were just about to be induced. I was all connected up to the fetal heart monitor. All of a sudden, his heart rate just dropped dramatically. And we were like, oh, called the nurse in and she had a stethoscope out and was scrambling around my belly trying to find the heartbeat and couldn't hear anything at this point. So then the emergency button was pressed. All of these doctors just flooded into the room. And, you know, within moments, my bed was being wheeled out to theatre and I was put under general and they got Arlo out in about 10 minutes. But because he was deprived of oxygen during that time, he got brain damage, which we would later find out was cerebral palsy or resulted in cerebral palsy.
How long till you got that diagnosis?
It was 6 blissful months of denial until we got that diagnosis. And even though we were being quite closely monitored, you know, we had to go to the growth clinic at the hospital. We were seeing a physio who kept kind of hinting that we might want to check in with the Cerebral Palsy Alliance. We were very much clinging to, you know, this will be okay. This kind of thing only happens to other people. So yeah, it wasn't until Arlo was 6 months, hadn't met any milestones. You know, he wasn't rolling over or sitting up. It was then that we got the diagnosis.
Was it a moment of your world coming crashing down, or was it a moment of, yeah, this is kind of what I thought all along and now I'm just confronting that?
Oh, it was pretty wretched. Like, part of me was still very much in denial and thinking, you know what, this is going to be mild, this is going to be nothing, or, you know, a misdiagnosis. Like, the amount of times I googled cerebral palsy misdiagnosis trying to find a similar story where this had happened but everything was still okay. But you know, a big part of me knew, well, this is a diagnosis, I can't really deny that. And I was so sad, just gloomy for months after that, and just really, really scared, because, you know, you think your life and your child is going a certain way, and then suddenly that's ripped out from under your feet and you've got this big black hole in front of you and you have no idea what your future or their future is going to look like.
Mel, obviously the book is called Special, and although there's obviously confronting things in it, there's some very uplifting things as well. At what point was it for you that this changed, that it went from, you know, as you said, a big hole opening in front of you to realising there are amazing things to be taken from this?
It was interviewing the parents that got me there. I sort of was desperate to know that this wasn't what I thought it was, that everything would be okay. So that's why I wrote the book. You know, everyone says talk to other parents, befriend other parents who are raising kids with disability. I didn't want to do that. So I thought, you know, a sneaky way to get around that would be to say, oh, I'm writing a book, can I interview you? And, you know, a very one-sided conversation. So
why didn't you want to befriend them?
Because I didn't want to admit that I was like them, you know? Like, I couldn't even say the word disability at the start of this. And befriending other parents would have taken a level of acceptance that I just did not have at the beginning. Then, you know, as I was talking to them, the conversations started changing. You know, if you're told 50 plus times, this is okay, this isn't what you think it is, we're living, you know, a beautiful life, then, you know, it starts to stick. And by the end of the book, I felt entirely differently about this experience.
For people that don't know, and I'm not sure I 100% understand either, what is life like for Arlo? What does having cerebral palsy mean for him in his everyday life and his future, I guess?
Yeah, well, cerebral palsy is so broad, you know, it can be quite mild. Arlo is quite severe physically, so he's non-verbal and non-mobile, so he can't roll or sit or walk. We're working on it very hard with his physio. He also can't speak, which came as a surprise to us because we didn't think that would come under the, you know, the physical category, but it also affects the muscles in his mouth and his tongue, so he has trouble eating. We're working on that, and he doesn't have any words yet, so we're helping him to speak using his pupils with an eye gaze device, which is very exciting. But Arlo is a very busy little boy. He's got appointments every day. We've got physio, OT, 3 different speech therapists. He also goes to daycare 2 days a week, which is bloody brilliant. It's just, you know, you stand in daycare. They've been amazing.
When you had time to write this book, yes.
Well, exactly. My God. But yeah, these are daycare. It's just, you know, the daycare up the road, and they'd never had a kid with disabilities before, and they just embraced him. They got all the equipment he needs. All of his physio, OT, speech therapists have all been in there to show them, you know, what to do for him, and they've just been so good. And he's got 20 little friends in there who all adore him. It's awesome.
So much of parenting is about milestones, and I love in your book how you talk about the future milestones. All of that can go jam it because they mean nothing to what Arlo means to you. Can you talk about that a little bit? Explain that to us.
Yeah, well, it sucks, you know, especially at the start when you just realize, oh, my kid isn't meeting these milestones. And there are things you can cling to at the start, you know, boys develop a lot slower than girls, and but then it gets to a point where you can't really say those things anymore. And it's hard because the whole world is kind of designed around these milestones, you know, like Arlo wears nappies that are called crawler nappies, and he's not crawling, and you know, he's in clothes that are a size 2 and he's 3.5, so everything is designed to make you feel like crap, or so it feels when your child is not meeting the standard marks. But it's been really liberating for us to just go stuff it and like throw the rule book out and say, you know, we're going to write the story from here and just let Arlo lead the way.
Mel, you said that this was a book that you wish was around for you. I don't have kids. Would I still get something out of this book? Who's it for?
It's for anyone that knows anyone that has a child with disability. And look, frankly, I hope it's an interesting read anyway. And there's kind of coping strategies and things in there that just would help anyone that's had something unexpected happen to them, or, you know, when things don't go to plan. I think there's a lot of good things in there to help. But certainly, you know, there's advice for friends, you know, how to talk to a friend who has a child with a disability. There's advice for parents, you know, the grandparents of children with disabilities. I think other people that might get a lot out of this are people working in the disability sector, you know, like therapists and doctors, to get the parent perspective. I think it's really important to get an idea of sort of what we're going through and how you might be able to help.
I think a lot of people are scared when talking to someone who has a child with disability because they don't want to say the wrong thing. What advice would you give for people and how to have those conversations and how to not feel scared?
I'd just say, just have them. I mean, I would have been the same, you know, and I'm still awkward in some of these conversations, certainly when, you know, meeting with adults with disability, I still feel a bit scared about saying the wrong thing. But God, it's better just to, you know, to talk it out. I think the worst thing is having silence, or even worse than that is when people say, like, I'm sorry, or like, don't say you're sorry. Let's just have a chat. Mm. Just ask me how I am. Ask me how my child is. And be careful how you ask that as well. Like one of the mothers I spoke to for the book, she has a beautiful little son called Dare who has Down syndrome. And she says, people will ask, oh, so how is Dare? But for her other kids, they're like, oh, so how's so-and-so? And it's just a completely different tone, and it sets up a really negative conversation. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, just ask how we are, ask how our kid's going, and just ask it in an upbeat or normal.
It was the back of the book that got me when I was reading it, Mel. It says, why has this happened to me? When will I stop feeling shit? Will I ever stop comparing my child? How will my relationship survive? Will I be able to work again? Should I have another baby? What will my future look like? You have gone on to have another bub. How does that bub fit into your world now? How is it a little girl?
She is a little girl, Odie. So she's Odette, who we call Odie, who's 19 months old now. And yeah, she blows our minds. I mean, every little flick of her finger, we, you know, are amazed by. We don't take anything for granted. But it's funny, Arlo's kind of made us quite weird parents. Like when we took Odie for her 6-month vaccination checkup, the doctor was like, oh, she's sitting up, and we're like, oh no. And we got home and sat her up, and she sat, and we're like, oh right, she can. And when I first saw her, I went into the room, and the first time I saw her standing up in her cot, I like shrieked in horror and ran out of the room and slammed the door because my brain is not used to seeing babies standing in cots. It's used to seeing babies lying down. So it was like I'd seen Chucky. Like I was proper horrified.
You're not encouraging Odie to stand again.
Well, she's been slow to walk, I must say.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Mel. I think there's so much that everyone can take out of your book. Thank you for writing it and all the best with everything in the future.
Mm. Oh, thanks, Carrie. Thanks, Tommy. Lovely chatting.
And if you do want to get a copy of this book, it is called Special and it is in your local bookstore right now. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.